Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is November 13th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Now, in today's episode, it's going to be about the recap of the game between the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers. So if you want to hear about the rest of the league, that will be coming in tomorrow's episode. I will have a recap of the entire league's games, my predictions, how that went, the results, some notable highlights, and what I think of the whole league moving forward, each team individually. But this episode is going to be specifically the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers, the game, how it ended up, and what I thought of it, my takeaway. So let's get straight into it. Well, the Dolphins ended up losing this game 31-12 to the Green Bay Packers, and it was not a surprise. And I don't mean that in a way to bash the team or to sound pessimistic. It was a rough loss, and I don't want to be pouring salt in the wounds. This was just a hard matchup. Going into Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers with Brock Osweiler as your starting quarterback is already a bleak situation at best. A win would have been triumphant. It would have been unexpected. The Dolphins came in as 10-point underdogs, so it would have shocked everybody. So this one really did just go as expected. The game ball in this game goes to Aaron Jones, the running back for the Green Bay Packers. He was an absolute force in this game, you know, as I predicted. But yeah, the best player, if I had to pick on Miami's side, was Robert Quinn, who had 1.5 sacks, and that was on Aaron Rodgers, so that is pretty impressive to do considering that they have those great tackles in Bulaga and Bakhtiari over there. And I'm not saying this to troll, but it was also really good to see Leonte Carew out there making plays. I'm really happy to see him get an opportunity again. So let's take a deeper look into this game. Well, the Packers won this game primarily with their rushing attack. Aaron Jones, like I said, he started off the game hot. He rushed for 54 yards on the Packers' opening drive, which was finished off by a touchdown reception by Davante Adams. This was a theme throughout the entire game. Jones really did pave the way for a bunch of easy drives for them. He finished with 145 yards rushing on 15 carries. That is an average of 9.7 yards per carry. To show you how effective that is, Nick Chubb had a 92-yard touchdown run this week, and he still only had 8.8 yards per carry. So imagine that, 9.7 for Aaron Jones. That really shows you how he was picking up all these big chunk plays consistently over and over again. So as one would expect after hearing that, the passing game was really not the focal point for the Packers. And with Aaron Rodgers, that's a team that would not mind being a really high volume passing team, but that was not how they were approaching it. That's not what they need to do. Rodgers finished the game 19-28, 199 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. His primary receiver was Davante Adams, who finished with 4 catches, 57 yards, and 2 touchdowns. As I expected with that one, he kind of got the upper hand on Xavier Howard, if I had to say. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a guy who I thought would have a huge day, he didn't really have that good of a game. He finished with 6 catches and 44 yards. It really did show that his role was going to be bigger than Randall Cobb's, though, and that's what I was really trying to look for, especially for those who play fantasy football. I would say it's safe that Marquez Valdez-Scantling is the number 2 receiver for this team moving forward. And then despite the run stop being poor from Miami's side, the defense played what I felt like was a solid outing against the pass. The pressure, it was forcing Aaron Rodgers out of the pocket, and when he was forced to move, I think the team did a good job at preventing him from working his magic and capitalizing off of broken plays. But the Dolphins once again failed to score a touchdown. The team's last offensive touchdown came in week 8 against the Houston Texans, and Osweiler really continues to show why he is a backup in this league. He finished the game 23-37, 213 yards, 0 touchdowns, and an interception. The interception came on a terribly thrown ball, gave Green Bay a short field. He also missed a wide open Devontae Parker before the half on what had the potential to be a touchdown, but as we've seen already countless times this season, he overthrew him. Amendola ended up being the lead receiver, taking advantage of the underneath game left behind by Albert Wilson. I will say that Wilson's after the catch ability is definitely truly missed. Amendola is unable to replicate what Wilson's able to do after the catch, but he still is effective. He's more just of a possession receiver. He finished the game with 7 catches for 72 yards. And now the running game, I actually thought looked really great, but stop me if you heard this before. It had to be abandoned when the team dug itself into a deep hole. Frank Gore actually looks really incredible. He defies everything that we are taught about age correlating with a player's effectiveness. He finished this game with 13 carries for 90 yards, and he really just looks so elusive throughout this entire game. The Dolphins special team had a blocked punt, which was huge. It was a good outing from the special teams and kicker Jason Sanders, who was 4-for-4 on his field goal attempts. But there were some injuries, though, which are very unfortunate. First off, Bobby McCain suffered a very violent blow to the head on a blindside block by Equanimeous St. Brown. It's a play that the NFL is trying to remove from the sport in 2018. So it is a little surprising to me that he was not ejected for that hit. It was very violent. It was directed at his head. It was a blindside block. He was a defenseless player. I just think they need to call that penalty consistently on both sides of the ball. He is now in the concussion protocol, though. Devontae Parker suffered a shoulder sprain, which is expected to sideline him for a few weeks. Jakeem Grant, he limped off the field in severe pain. It looked really bad initially. It just looked horrible. He was in such bad pain. The initial suspicion was that it was a torn Achilles. Luckily, that is not the case, and he will also be expected to return at some point, but is going to be managed on a week-to-week basis. So let's get into my takeaways from this game. The first takeaway I have is that the Dolphins can kiss the playoff dreams goodbye if they don't address the issues in run stopping. Miami faces a barrage of tough halfbacks throughout the remainder of this schedule. First off, Marlon Mack has 2 games of 120+ yards in the past 3 weeks. He cannot be taken lightly. Sony Michel and James White dominated the first game between these two teams. They could do it again. They cannot be taken lightly. Dalvin Cook was on a snap count of 20. He had 89 yards rushing on 10 carries in his first game back from an injury. We need to take account for him. And then Leonard Fournette rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. The team has Blake Bortles. They are going to want to pound the rock all day long. Aside from that, they also have TJ Yeldon and Carlos Hyde. That is going to be a run-heavy team. That has to be taken account for. And then LeSean McCoy will play Miami twice, and he looked great last week for the first time all season. So that is a lot of good running backs left on the schedule. And after what Kerryon Johnson did and Lamar Miller did, I'm really worried. And after what Aaron Jones did, I'm almost in full panic mode when it comes to run stopping. None of those rushing attacks left on the schedule can be taken lightly. Add on top of the fact that half of the QBs on that schedule are Kirk Cousins, Andrew Luck, and that other guy, what's his name, Tom Brady? Yeah, I don't feel good about these matchups, at least right now. The run stopping needs to be addressed. The next takeaway is that Tannehill is this team's only hope. And no, I'm not talking about long term. In fact, I thought Miami should have drafted a quarterback this year. But in 2018, it's clear that the team stands no chance with Brock Osweiler. And while I wouldn't really bet on Tannehill being able to carry this team to the playoffs, he truly is the only way the team can get there. But after what I saw in his video of him throwing the ball, or him throwing, not actually the ball, just the motion, he does look like he's in a lot of pain. He looks very limited. I honestly would be surprised if he returns this season, despite him thinking he will for this Colts game. I don't think that's going to happen. And honestly, I'd be surprised if he returns at any point. And then we move on to my last takeaway, and it is that the argument for a new coaching staff is legitimate. The Dolphins were not able to score an offensive touchdown against the New York Jets last week. And then the Buffalo Bills waltzed in with Matt Barkley starting for the first time all season, and they won the game 41-10. The Bills finished with 451 yards. Last week, the Dolphins put up 168. And then we move on to this week, and they could not score on the Green Bay Packers, a team which the 49ers put 30 against with C.J. Beathard as the starting quarterback. The excuses are becoming too much. The offense has been stagnant for too long. It has reached a point where it doesn't matter who is the most responsible for this performance. The overall result has just been too poor to make anybody off limits. And I'm not saying that it needs to be done just yet, but defending them at this point is not a hill that I would want to die on. I am open to the discussion, at least for right now, that a coaching staff change should be done. I am not saying that it needs to be done right now, but if someone were to bring up the topic with me, I think it is a conversation that should be addressed with very much real concern, and I think it's legitimate. I really, really do. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. Leave your comments. Share. I really appreciate all the shares. Until next time, though, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via the Source.